The following service from First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, was recorded on July 15, 2018. For more information about our church, visit us online at fbc-sav.org. We hope you enjoy the service.
Good morning, and welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, on a beautiful, beautiful, sunny summer day. Can't believe it's almost getting to the end of summer. Like, school here starts back in like 2 weeks. That's like, that is amazing. But it is a good day to come together and be together and worship God. If you are a guest with us from out of town, it is good to have you here. It is good to have your presence among us so that you may worship with us. And if you are from town and visiting as well, it's good to see your face here. Please give folks a chance to say hello and let them get to know you before you leave today. And if you're from out of town, we can give you all sorts of great Savannah recommendations to go to. Also, there is a guest card in front of you, in the pew in front of you. If you can fill that out at some point, that would be awesome. It lets us get to know a little bit about who you are and can keep in contact with you. And as always, to those people we see week in and week out who sit with us and we call family and we call community and we worship together, it is good to see you in this place. And so let us do that. Let us worship together. And will you join me in this call to worship? Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Let us worship God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Let us pray. As we gather in your presence, O God, the cross overarching, tune our ears to the call of Christ, to share his name and his reconciling message for all to hear, certain thereby that we will all be gathered into your perfect heaven, where there is worship forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
Join me as we affirm our faith together. The First Baptist Church confesses Jesus Christ as Lord on the basis of who he was and is and what he did and does. We confess him to be God's unique Son, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord of life. He gave his life even unto death by God's will and for our sake on the cross. He comes again and again by the Holy Spirit to communicate himself to his people. His people are the church. We seek simply to be one visible congregation of Christ's church. We hold Baptist views about the Christian faith. However, we also rejoice in the Lord's gracious gifts to our fellow believers who are called by names other than Baptist. Happily, we count them as our brothers and our sisters. We live out our discipleship by taking seriously our commitment to each other and to the world. We share not only our words, but our money, our time, and our talents with our friends here and with all God's people everywhere.
To see all of you guys. So have you ever had really good news that you want to tell somebody about and just really excited about it? Like maybe you got a new puppy or you lost a tooth and the tooth fairy visited you. So you probably told that friend about what happened to you just when you're doing normal everyday things. Like maybe you're on your way to school or you were over at a friend's house. And we can do the same thing about sharing the good news of Jesus and about God with people during our normal everyday lives. And so like later this week, a group of our church members will go to the Ronald McDonald House and they will prepare dinner for families who are staying there. Or maybe you can say a prayer for someone who's having a difficult time. And for me and where I work at the American Cancer Society, I meet a lot of people and sometimes they're sick and sometimes they're not feeling very well or maybe they're a little scared. And at times our conversations end up being about God and how Jesus has helped us during a difficult time. And I always end up saying a short little prayer, sometimes out loud, sometimes silently, just to myself. And I always say, "Dear Lord, please help this person in ways that I cannot." And for me, that helps to share the good gifts of Jesus, even if it's a simple prayer with someone. And in the gospel lesson that we'll hear Dr. Tom read in just a few minutes, we'll hear about some of Jesus' disciples and how they shared the good news about Jesus in his life. And if you listen really carefully, you'll hear a reference about a fig tree. And so this morning, I've brought some fig cookies to share with all of you guys. If you want to take one. And so maybe you can share a cookie with a friend and share the good news with them. So will you pray with me before we go back to our seats? Dear Lord, please be with all of your children and help us to feel at ease in sharing your good news in the life of Jesus with those around us. Help us to share your good news through our actions and words. Amen.
Our first lesson is Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him and seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Here ends the reading.
Our second reading comes from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, starting with verse 3 and ending in verse 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of John, the first chapter, verses 35 through 51. The next day, John, this is John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour, which is around 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth. Can anything come from there that's any good?" Nathanael asked. "Well, come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe, or do you believe, because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the written word of God. Today's message is based on that of last week when I pointed out that the three roles of the church found in the Great Commission were to share Christ, to edify people, and to glorify God. Today's gospel lesson helps point the way. The person of Nathanael appears only in John's gospel. He lived in a small town called Cana in Galilee, the same place where Jesus performed his first miracle. Another Galilean town, Nazareth, was where Jesus lived. Those two towns were rivals, probably not unlike the historic rivalry between certain cities in Virginia or North Carolina or Georgia where favorite teams are located. We can conclude that because of the condescending way in which Nathanael reacts when he hears about Jesus. He says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So there's the problem at the outset. Nathanael's natural dislike for things from Nazareth makes him unlikely candidate for conversion to Jesus Christ. Here's evangelism at its most difficult, evangelism that must contend with pride and condescension. But the encounter occurs, and Nathanael is converted. And then at the end of John's gospel, he's still in the picture, and I wonder, how on earth did anyone win that guy over? The how is instructive for us. Let's look at the series of events as they develop. You might call this, as I do, fig tree evangelism. The story begins when John the Baptist, that rough, tough, grasshopper-eating prophet, was intent on baptizing everyone he could to save them from their sins. When John, who many believe was Jesus' cousin, sees Jesus, he calls him the Lamb of God, the Spirit-filled Son of God. Immediately, John the Baptist's own disciples begin to align with Jesus, apparently with John's approval. Two of those disciples of John began to follow Jesus around, and Jesus asked, "Well, what are you doing?" They really don't answer that question, but they decide to stay overnight with him, probably to find out about him as much as they could. They're from another rival town in Galilee called Bethsaida. By the end of the next day, one of them, Andrew, is so convinced of who Jesus is that he announces Jesus really is the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of Israel. In this sequence of events, Andrew emerges as the first true believer, not counting John the Baptist. It's an amazing discovery that Andrew makes. Now, what does he do with it? What would we do with it? What did you do with it when you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ and come into the family of God? Does he sit down and contemplate? Does he go off on a retreat? Does he begin to pray day and night? How about taking out an ad in the local paper? No, the very first thing he does is to find his brother Simon and tell him about his discovery. The text says, quote, he brought him to Jesus. Now, that's evangelism, first century style. You hear the good news and you run and tell somebody about it. You probably do the same thing if you just won the lottery. It's direct, straightforward, and to the point. It's a matter of going to people where they are and bringing them to where Jesus is. A minister friend, once prominent in SBC life, worked out each morning at a health spa near his church. One morning, coming out of the shower wrapped in a towel, he met someone in the locker room and struck up a conversation. The pastor told him who he was and asked him if he knew Christ. The man said no. And there, sitting on the bench in a towel, the pastor proceeded to tell the man about Christ, and he made a decision to accept him. And that's just what Andrew did for Simon Peter. Andrew, the first believer, becomes Andrew, the first evangelist. Up to this point, the setting of the story has been in Judea. But as the story continues, Jesus decides to head up towards Cana in Galilee, up towards the little villages where the rivalry was ancient and ugly, up to where a man named Nathanael was. On the way, Jesus meets a friend of Andrew and Simon named Philip. And Jesus simply says to Philip, follow me. And he does. When they arrive in Cana, Philip, who apparently knew the area well, rushes off to find Nathanael. Notice what Philip says to him and how he couches his phraseology. We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now that's a rather roundabout way of telling about Jesus, but very likely Nathanael was a teacher, a rabbi, and he was accustomed to sitting in the shade of fig trees to teach or write or to contemplate and pray. That's what rabbis did. And if you want to address a rabbi, you must talk like a rabbi. And that's what Philip did, anchoring his message in that of Moses, the law, and the prophets. Some years ago, I went to Valencia to visit missionary friends who were our closest friends when I was in the seminary, when we were in the seminary. It was a week of enjoying that part of Spain and Barcelona and Valencia. And during the course of the week, I asked this missionary friend, Lonnie Reynolds, how do you actually do your job here? What is it that you do? Well, he said, three or four nights a week, Connie, Lonnie, isn't that cute? Connie and I go to the local bar, and we sit there with the people and talk to them. And I said, okay, this is priceless. I've got to see this in action. Here's a Southern Baptist missionary who spends four nights a week in the local bar. I want to see this. Well, as it turns out, that's precisely what they do. They've been going to the same place for an extended period of time. In Spain, folks don't drink beer to get inebriated. They drink beer for the conviviality of it, and they drink N.A. beer, which is non-alcoholic beer. And that way they can sit for an evening with friends and sip on their beer and talk and just enjoy each other. Well, that's the way Lonnie and Connie established their credentials as missionaries. They would sit down and talk with folks, get to know them, and after a period of time when all angst and pretense was gone, they could simply say, well, tell us about your life. What is it that you do? What are your goals in life? What do you hope to achieve? And in following along those conversations, they could then bring up the message of Jesus Christ. If you're going to witness to someone, you need to talk their language. You go where they go. You talk as they talk. You make the message plain to the high, the low, the well-educated, the not-so-well-educated. You talk as people talk. Well, how about your neighbor next door? You know what he or she does. You know their background. You know how he or she talks. To be true to our mission as welcoming, loving, serving, and nurturing people, we must meet people where they are, understand their environment and behavior, know where they're coming from, know where they're going, and talk as they talk. Philip did that with Nathanael, and Nathanael's reply was shocking. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? What a put down. Most people would have given up after that, but not Philip. He's smart and he's determined. He desperately wants to tell the story. He yearns to tell what he can tell. And he simply says, come and see. That's a smart way to do it. Not often will you walk up to someone and share your faith journey right out of the blue. Some are reluctant to share because they've had that experience before and have been shunned. That kind of face-to-face evangelism doesn't always work. It can produce snickers and rebuffs and embarrass silence. But how about trying Philip's way? Come and see for yourself. I'll pick you up and take you to church. I want to invite you to my Sunday school class. Come with me to dinner this coming Wednesday. Casual, just come as you are. You'll enjoy it. Meet the people. They will enjoy meeting you. Invite people to come. And then tell them what you can tell. SermonIllustrations.com has a number of interesting texts that can be referred to about evangelism. The one that I particularly like was a case of an outreach worker who reported back to her pastor about an unusual call. Knocking on the door as a canvassing program, she was invited in by a young lady. When the caller indicated her purpose, the lady replied, "It's good you're visiting on this street, but you don't need to go any further." "Why not?" the caller asked. "Well," the lady replied, "when I moved in a few years ago and joined my church, I went around and invited everyone on the street to come with me. And believe it or not, they all came." That was a good evangelist. Not a TV star, not even your local pastor trying to do his job, but a genuine lay person acting natural, being friendly, and willing to tell what she could tell. She invited them all, and they came. Go where people go. Talk as people talk. Tell what you can tell. Invite, 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 and you'll surprise yourself. Some morning you'll awaken and realize that you're doing something that comes naturally to you and doing it for the Lord. Fig tree evangelism is meeting people where they are and inviting them to where Jesus is. And what happened to Nathanael? Would you believe he changed his disparaging, put-down attitude towards this Nazarene Jesus into one of the strongest confessions of faith you'll find anywhere in the entire New Testament? He said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." What a conversion. How can we explain it? Well, here's how. Once Jesus actually met Nathanael, the dynamic confrontation itself between Jesus and Nathanael caused Nathanael to understand and to confess Jesus as Messiah. If we can only bring people into the presence of the Savior himself will do the rest. We trust Jesus for the saving. Jesus trusts us for the bringing. So Nathanael, this special but resistant man, is won to the kingdom and to its ultimate glory. It's a product of a series of events carried forward by the ordinary followers of Jesus, Andrew, Peter, Philip, men willing to go where people go, talk as people talk, tell what they can tell, and invite, invite, invite. I particularly like this illustration from Daily Bread. It was printed in 1991 and reprinted on Sermon Search. According to the book Life of Francis of Assisi, Francis once invited a young monk to join him on a trip to town to preach. Honored to be given that invitation, the monk readily accepted. All day long, he and Francis walked through the streets, byways, and alleys, and even into the suburbs. They rubbed shoulders with hundreds of people. At day's end, the two headed back home. Not even once had Francis addressed a crowd, nor had he talked to anyone about the gospel. Greatly disappointed, his young companion said, "I thought we were going to town to preach." Francis responded, "My son, we have preached. We were preaching while we were walking. We were seen by many, and our behavior was closely watched. It is of no use to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere as we walk." You can do that. You can do that. You can live the right kind of life, make friends, get to know people, invite, and tell what you know. As Christians, it's our job, and our future depends on it. And may God bless us all. Amen. Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the simple but elegant elegance of what we've just read this morning. Right at the beginning of John's gospel, he tells us how to go about the work of bringing your name before others and watching you work. Thank you, Father, for this lesson. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
It is time to pray. Our call to prayer this morning comes from Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us take a minute of silent prayer. God of creation, we celebrate the glory of the world around us, from the sun that warms the earth, the moon that lights the night sky, and all living things that thrive in rich interdependence. As people of faith, we live with the expectation that someday the lion will lie down with the lamb, and peace will reign supreme. God of love, we celebrate your compassion, patience, understanding, and the embrace of your presence, walking beside us every moment by the power of your Spirit. We're able to sense your movement in our lives, encouragement when we falter, direction when we reach a crossroad, wisdom as we learn from your written word, and moral discernment that channels righteous anger into constructive response. Your love enables our love and manifests itself in the fruit of the Spirit. Indeed, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we engage with others, may they see in us those blessed aspects of personality and character and devotion. God of mercy, we celebrate your grace, exercised in fair and compassionate judgment, ensuring through faith that we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, cleansed from all unrighteousness and saved for eternal life, an existence filled with praise and joy, creativity and purpose. God of time, we celebrate your ineffable presence through the whole of time, before time was, to the events which fill the time you have allotted to each of us, and the time when all things will be gathered together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In our time, O Lord, may warring nations find a table of peace, belligerent voices silence, intemperate, meddlesome, undiplomatic behaviors give way to a more mature and constructive leadership. In the corner of the world where you have placed us, I pray that we may be congenial, open-hearted, understanding, and generous, not seeking our own way, but the way that's best for all. Please forgive us when we fail you and others, indeed, when we fail ourselves, and lead us in the way everlasting. Our prayer is now and is always guided by the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the trees, the air, the music, us, the blessings we have been given, all God's, and all gifts from a gracious God. So as God has generously given to us great gifts, may we now give generously from the abundance of those gifts. Let's all pray together. Lord God, you call your people to task. We would not ourselves choose. And so give us the grace to love you enough to follow when you call. And you know our weaknesses and have promised to give strength for that which you ask of us. So Lord, make our places of worship places of hospitality and welcome. Make our words and actions of invitation. Like Peter, let us say, come and see this great hope, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Every Sunday in churches across the nation, there are opportunities for you to make a decision to accept Christ as your personal Savior, to rededicate your life to a life more consistent with what you've been taught. And it's an opportunity to consider how the Lord has blessed you with the life of others whose lives have been a beacon of goodness and grace. And so consider, as you sing this final song, what it really means to have a faith that looks up to Him and allow Him to touch you and bless you. And may this be a week where you touch someone else and bless them in an everlasting way. Let us sing.
I'll take a seat for just a few minutes. Got a few announcements. You can see some of the upcoming events happening this week in at the back of your order of worship. Some comments on those. On Saturday, our mini mission project at Ronald McDonald House, which Rachel alluded to with the children, is happening. If that's something you want to be a part of and you haven't told us yet, just talk to Shannon Wilhite. She is the point person for that, and she would love to have you there. On Wednesday night, we are having our midweek gathering for July, our bingo night. This was a fun time last year. Just think of like a cross between bingo and Let's Make a Deal and Double Dare, and you've got like what happens on that night. It's great fun, so make sure you come. 5:30, we're going to have the meal, just like last month. Church will provide the protein, you provide the sides and desserts, and it'll be a good time. Last week, the women of the church who usually yoga on Monday took the week off, but this week they will pick that back up. And so tomorrow night, if you want to come and yoga with them, then you can do that. And today, in just a few minutes, we've got our our monthly third Sunday meal over across the street. And so join us and we will have our quarterly conference as well. So that is all the announcements. And so if you can, let us stand and join in the pastoral benediction and then the congregational response.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service of First Baptist Church of Savannah. We also invite you to worship with us in person each Sunday at 11 a.m. in our sanctuary on Chippewa Square. All are welcome.